The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Gobind Sawhney, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, Danny Swick, Chief Operating Officer, and Austin King, Head of Investor Relations for the Black Oak Alpha Growth Fund. And they're all part of course, Alpha Growth, and ALGW. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Yep. Thank you, Justin. And, you know, I don't want to distract from the current situation of COVID-19, and our hearts and minds go out to everybody that's impacted with this. However, we do feel we owe our shareholders this update, given that it's the end of Q1 of 2020. Let's proceed.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's affecting everyone. But like I said, the best thing we can do is try and, you know, carry on as best we can. And it's a changing landscape, as always. So, Gobind, for people not familiar with Alpha Growth, first of all, can you sort of recap the business and business model, please?
Yeah, no, happy to. So, you know, the company's business is to provide advisory and consultancy services to, you know, the existing and prospective holders of life settlement assets or longevity assets. This includes giving advice on the acquisition and disposals of those assets, performance monitoring, analytical service in relation to those assets. And very simply, we generate our revenue through fees. And these can be earned by a combination on transactional and building what AUM or assets under management. And those are the strategies that we have developed and continue to work on.
Excellent stuff. And what is the current state of operations here?
Yeah, very, very simply. I mean, these are U.S.-based assets. Mm-hmm. Our main office, where myself, Danny, and Austin and Rajiv are located, is located in a professional office park complex in Newport Beach, California. We maintain a lean operation and have administrative and office supports functions that are part of our office complex, you know, again, maintaining a lean overhead. We acquired COVA a year ago to incorporate our actuarial expertise into our business. It's been very useful in our various strategies, and we've, even though I think some of our shareholders have mentioned that they've noticed that we've modified some of the acquisition terms, which was to accommodate some personal requirements for Rajiv, we still retain all the attributes of providing this internal actuarial analysis, and we'll be adding skill sets as needed when needed. But our mindset is to keep our overhead as low as possible, bring in professionals as needed, and keeping a lean operation, but yet providing high-quality, best-of-breed asset management in the longevity asset sector.
Excellent stuff. And so, life settlement market, is it growing at the moment, and how is the asset class viewed?
Yeah, the market's continuing to grow. I would say a lot of that has to do with the marketing and advertising that's going on here in the U.S. There's a lot of radio ads, television commercials, and digital marketing that's notifying the consumers that if they have a life insurance policy and they no longer need it or want it, they have the option to sell it. And according to the Conning Research 2019 Life Settlement Report, they think that just as an estimate of $100,000 minimum face value policies, that over the next 10 years, there's an average of about $188 billion to $230 billion in face that will be available in the secondary market. Of that, about over the next 10 years, they estimate that each year there will probably be about $6.4 billion in face settled in the secondary market.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so can you go through the stated aspirations and where are they now, please?
Yeah, I'll take that. So, Justin, if you remember, we're a startup, mm-hmm. You know, albeit about 24 months in. But when we started this company 2 years ago, or I said, should say, listed it 2 years ago, you know, we took in the conversations we're having with the market for our services and put some aspirational targets to them. You know, these included 3 to 6 advisory mandates and about approximately 4 acquisition and disposal mandates, establishing a life settlement backed bond. These were aspirations that we set out and we were hoping to achieve. Now, I believe we have achieved some of these aspirations and certainly admit that we have been experiencing market conditions, but for the most part, they are on track, and if anything, they have changed in the way we approach them.
Yeah. So tell me, why did the aspirations change then?
Well, the aspirations are still basically the same, but the changes has come in, the way that the approach is to getting them accomplished. So the simple answer is that, we adapt to institutional investor requirements and adjust to market conditions. For instance, the fees generated in a disposal and acquisition mandates dropped, and we determined that it was not really worth the time. So it was a cost-benefit analysis there. Our first advisory mandate merged into the fund. They liked the idea of the fund and waited for that and merged into that. And then, effectively, the Black Oak Alpha Fund is an advisory mandate. And also, the short-term credit facility that we announced is a type of advisory mandate. And how these sort of come about over days and weeks and months of communications with our prospects, prospective clients, is that, we announced a proprietary hybrid product, which is essentially a debt equity structure. And we had a round table with the top 10 insurance companies in the UK, which was arranged by one of our partners, EY, and we had a great conversations with them. And as these conversations occurred, they liked what they saw, but some liked the debt aspect of it, others liked the equity aspect of it. So essentially, that hybrid is moved on to focusing on the individual pieces separately. So essentially, the fund is the equity part, and the bonds that we are developing through the short-term credit facility is the debt part. So this is a, example of how the conversations have pivoted. And, keep in mind that we're still having discussions on the advisory mandates for separate managed funds. And, these are ongoing. And we're very optimistic that these will still occur.
Okay, Danny, you've worked with every level of investor in this asset class in previous roles. Of the investors and clients Alpha is interacting with, what are your thoughts in regards to the strategies you're working on?
Well, most of the groups that we've worked with in the past would be your typical structure. It would be a closed-end fund or an open-ended fund structure like we have with Black Oak. Most of the other strategies that we're working on, it's much more robust and complex. We're taking these life insurance policies and we're using them inside of these vehicles, for example, a bond offering. So doing those type of structures just seem to be a little more complicated, and it requires a lot more due diligence than most of the other structures that we've worked on in the past.
Okay, understood. How have the announced strategies, how are they progressing?
Yeah, I'll take that, Justin. Yeah, so let me start with the most recent. I mean, the short-term credit facility that we announced, we're all set for getting this in place Q1. But as you know, we are faced, towards the end of February, we're faced with an unprecedented event that has an impact on, the workforce and a knock-on effect on the financial community. What the, this COVID-19 situation has done, is a little bit twofold. On one hand, the volatility that it's created in the financial markets has drawn attention to our non-correlated asset class. But in terms of actually the logistics of people now working from home, separation in communications and inability to meet, and those things have just slowed the process down considerably. And so the large financial group in the UK UK that we're working with was one of the first to send their workforce to work from home. And, you know, we had documentation that was already started that was well in progress and, you know, just need to complete it. And I'm hopeful once that we get our politicians let us sort of get back to work and be able to move things forward. And then what I would say is, you know, stand back. I think, you know, we're basically holding the reins here to something that is going to take off pretty well. And then, of course, the Black Oak Alpha Growth Fund, we got that launched. We had the initial allocations brought in. We had Q4 of last year to get all the operational pieces in place and our track record verified by KPMG and got everything in place. And Jan 1, Austin, you know, hit the ground running. And indications are really great, and I'm going to let Austin speak to this here in a second. But, you know, a lot of people are rebalancing their portfolios, their equity portfolios, because of the markets were being very toppy, and they wanted to move into this. So we're respecting, you know, a number of great allocations, Q1. But, you know, they've been now pushed back, not canceled, but pushed back. And but nevertheless, we continue to grow and take calls. And Austin, yeah, jump in.
Thanks, Gobin. Thanks for the brief intro there. We, as you know, we are marketing the fund in the U.S. pretty much from coast to coast. And, you know, in the launch phase, there's a lot of important steps that need to be taken and at the right time. So we're taking the you know, the fund's thesis and design and matching it up with interested investors, which primarily are the family office, institutional, high net worth, mass affluent space. And, you know, we created all the marketing materials. We have everything all ready to go. And out there in the market, we're identifying anchor investors and, you know, establishing a presence on custodial platforms. So as you can appreciate, it's quite a process, but we've made really good progress. And, you know, as Gobin mentioned, we're expecting quite a few allocations early in the year. You know, however, with respect to this COVID-19 issue, we've kind of put the brakes on things, as it were. But a lot of investors really appreciate the non-correlated aspect of the asset, and the way we've structured it also gives the investors, or our investors, tax favorable tax treatment. So, you know, the space is growing rapidly. As Danny mentioned, you have people understanding they can trade their assets, which is the policy. And that just creates a larger, you know, market share. You know, and the U.S. has an incredible amount of life insurance. So I anticipate that this asset class will grow in the coming years. And, you know, as more people sell their policies, that would lead to potential for the investment side to expand as well. So, so we're, you know, hopefully in end of April is when we're really, you know, apparently going to be able to have meetings and travel again. So, you know, we're just kind of in that time period right now, Justin.
Mm-hmm. I understand. So what are the aspirational goals now through the next two quarters, given, you know, the current environment?
Right. Look, I think everybody knows, you know, what the situations are globally. We're certainly, you know, get hourly, if daily, if not hourly updates. But look, from what we know now and how we see things working out from the conversations that we're having, you know, as I mentioned before, we expect to produce revenues this calendar year. And how we expect to do this is pretty simple. We're going to concentrate on the work at hand. We have plenty to do. You know, this includes getting the the credit facility in place, you know, doing marketing the fund, and you know, completing some of these discussions on separate managed accounts that we're having. So, you know, and this you know, doesn't preclude all the unsolicited inquiries that we're still getting, and you know, we're trying to capitalize on everything that is coming our way, but but at the same time keep our operations in a efficient, lean manner, and build value for the shareholders, which include ourselves.
Excellent stuff. Okay, guys. Well, normally what I do at the end of an interview is ask for three quick reasons why someone should add you to their watch list. Because there's three of you, I suppose it's quite appropriate. We ask each one of you the prospects of the future, please.
Yeah, I'll go first. Well, look, you know, I'll speak for myself, and then obviously Danny and Austin will follow. But, you know, I truly believe, I would not have started this journey if I did not believe, that longevity assets managed by a transparent and high visibility manager like ourselves will eventually lead the best of breed advisory in this asset class. And we are working hard to do this. And I also want to just say, I want to thank our dedicated shareholders. I hear from many, and the ones that give us good constructive feedback, we're taking and feeding and building upon that, as well as, you know, this is a project that we're in it for the long term. This is, in our view, a marathon, not a sprint. Danny, do you want to take the next one?
Sure. As Gobin said, we're in a unique asset class, and we're experienced in this asset class, and we are planning on taking this to the next level.
Austin?
You know, I've been involved in investment marketing for almost a decade, and this is, you know, this asset class has characteristics kind of, you know, it's in a class of its own, which I think... which interests investors maybe first on a curiosity level, but as they, you know, dig deeper, and I will say there is an education component, because, you know, as everyone on this call knows, it's the market is growing, still on the, you know, still has some growing to do, but you know, people really, you know, especially right now when all the volatility is in the market, you know, the asset class really shines. So we're looking forward to grow and outpace other investment classes. You know, and as investors become more sophisticated, you know, we've been watching this trend for the whole time I've been in investments, is that investors are becoming more sophisticated. They're moving off of brokerages and they're heading towards advisors, which in practical terms meaning they're going away from commissions and they're embracing the fee structure. And, you know, that's been a big, big theme over the last 5 years. You know, Congress and all the rest of it have made attempted to regulate it because of the perceived conflict of interest. But, you know, for that reason, and the greater availability of policies, we're expecting this space to, you know, dramatically out, you know, grow in the next coming years and decades. And, you know, the last one I'll really touch on is that it's a great hedge on traditional markets. So, you know, there's a lot of ways to use it in the investor's portfolio. But the actual gains are very attractive as well, which usually fall in the mid-teens. So as far as the overall market and outlook, very exciting. And, you know, looking, it's exciting for me to get in kind of, you know, in the growing phase of it, because you have a real opportunity to make an outsized impact in the industry. So very, very excited for the rest of this year and the following years.
Excellent stuff. Guys, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be catching up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank
Pleasure
you.
To be with you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.